This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Over the course of the week, teacher rallies have sprung up around the state as the West Virginia Education Association and the American Federation for Teachers continue discussions with members about possible strikes or walkouts. While increases to PEIA premiums and deductibles are some elements feeding those talks, teacher pay has been another flashpoint around the Capitol. Dave Mistich reports.
At least part of that teacher frustration has come into focus with Senate Bill 267, which would increase pay for teachers, school service personnel, and state police. With the bill on second reading, an amendment offered by Minority Leader Roman Prezioso called for a 3% raise instead of 1%.
When we look at what the 1% that the governor has proposed over 5 years, 1% a year, when you break it down, teachers take home $34 a month. You can't already see that in a pay stub. But yet, their PEIA premiums have gone up approximately $48 a month. That doesn't even wash out, not to mention the deductibles are going up from $1,150 to $1,450. Out of pocket, when they go to the doctor, they've got to accumulate a certain amount of cost. That's going up. All this adds up. And at the end of the day, when they see what they make and what they're going to get and what they have to pay, just doesn't wash out.
While Senate Bill 267 focuses on increases in pay, discussion on the bill turned towards rising PEIA costs for teachers and other state employees. Democrats like Senator Richard Ojeda says that's one of the things most discussed by educators.
Now, I look across this room here, and I'm going to be honest with you. I see a lot of lawyers. I see doctors, and that's great. And your salaries show that. Your doctors, your lawyers, you've got 7+ years in the classroom in higher education to make the big bucks that you make. But you know, the majority of our teachers in our classrooms have a master's plus 45, and we pay them absolutely nothing. Now, as a person who spent 4 years in a classroom every day during lunch, I sit down with teachers. And the discussion was always the same thing. About how PEIA, and I know this is, we're not talking PEIA, but that was something that ripped a part of their benefits, and it cost them more money in their pockets. And that's why it's important.
Republicans, though, argue that the problems surrounding teacher pay have been a long time coming, with West Virginia's average teacher salary slipping downward nationally over the past few decades. Senator Patricia Rucker, another former educator, says lawmakers have other obligations in front of them this session, and they cannot fund additional pay increases at the moment.
This is a state that is struggling from lack of professionals. And we are trying to fix a problem that wasn't created in one day or one year. And the solution is not just money. I wish that we could just pay teachers right now the amount that I would consider worthwhile, which is an even larger amount than what the senator has proposed with this amendment. But the fact remains that we have to balance the needs of all of our constituents and all of our citizens.
Others, like Judiciary Chair Charlie Trump, argue that Prezioso's amendment comes down to some sort of funding mechanism, one that he says that hasn't yet found its way in front of the Senate.
While I have to oppose the senator's amendment right now, what I will say here in his presence and in the presence of every West Virginian is, if we bring to this floor a budget that will cut the Medicaid budget by $20 million, I would be delighted to spend that on teacher pay, and will vote to do so. But right now, with no mechanism evident or agreed upon to fund the additional money that would be provided by this amendment, I have to vote no.
Prezioso's amendment calling for a 3% pay increase failed 22-12 on a party line vote, which further throws into question what might happen with the possibility of a teacher strike. American Federation of Teachers President Christine Campbell says the amendment's failure isn't necessarily an instant catalyst for a strike, but that it's one part of a multifaceted set of concerns from teachers.
That's the thing. I mean, people are frustrated and they're happy that the discussions are happening, but these things take time, and I don't know that these folks can wait.
Campbell says that some groups aren't waiting anymore and that frustration has turned into action.
I know that counties have scheduled meetings. Some counties are actually having second meetings and that they are continuing to meet. Clear, they already have meetings scheduled up into mid-February. So the counties are talking about voting to authorize. We've actually called for folks to come down here on a Saturday on the 17th to talk about their issues, to celebrate any wins and talk about what we're going to do in losses. We have talked about having a statewide meeting of local leaders, and there are some counties who have said they're coming.
Moving forward, Senate President Mitch Carmichael says he hopes teachers realize that lawmakers are aiming to fund PEIA with another $10 million this year. As for talks of a strike, Carmichael says teachers should hold off and trust the legislature is working to address concerns.
If their objective with a strike is to get the attention of the legislature, I would say it's completely unnecessary. They have our attention. We're listening to it. We're working with the leaders of their unions and so forth. And I would be, you know, I really encourage those who are contemplating a strike to just take a step back and say, look, the legislature is listening to us. They're trying very hard. They've given us a small pay raise. Yeah, I agree. It's not enough. But it's all that we have right now. As we get more money, we are committed to raising teacher salaries and making sure that they are compensated at a level that's commensurate with their peers across the nation.
Senate Bill 267 was advanced to third reading and is up for a vote in the Senate Friday.
For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Dave Mistich at the Capitol.
Teachers from at least three counties are planning a work stoppage today. Union educators are planning to head to Charleston to rally for better wages and benefits. Governor Jim Justice has scheduled a 10:30 news conference this morning to address public education issues. For more information, visit us online at wvpublic.org. When you think of bats, you probably think of scary creatures and Halloween stories, or you might not really think of them at all. But as Claire Hemme reports, bats serve a vital role in our ecosystem, and many species are under threat of fungal infections.
The bats people see around here are all insect-eating bats, and that's what people think about.
That's Wildlife Resources researcher Craig Styler.
But globally, they do a lot of other things, pollinating plants, eating fruit and scattering seeds. So they're very important on the landscape.
Okay, so bats are important. But why are we just now talking about them? Well, since about 2006, scientists like Styler have been noticing a strange decline in the number of bats on the East Coast. The loss has become so great that in the past few years, many of the bats in our own state are severely endangered. The cause is known as white nose syndrome.
Since 2009, little brown bats that were one of our most common bats declined over 97%. So only 3% survived. Tricolored bats also dropped about 97%. And Indiana bats that are one of our endangered species before white nose dropped 95% since it showed up. So they were already in trouble, and now we've lost 95% of that population.
Styler is talking about a fungus that was brought to America from a couple different parts of the world. The fungus grows very well in cave climates and spreads rapidly. The fungus grows on the bat's skin, creating lesions that dehydrate the bats and wake them from hibernation. The bats are then forced to search for food, which, in the wintertime, almost always ends in premature death. You might think, why not disinfect the caves? Well, Kathy Johnson from the Monongahela National Forest Service says that this isn't really an option.
Cave systems are very complicated. And there are a lot of species in there besides bats. You can't just go into a cave system and blast it with something. Like, okay, we know this can kill the fungus, so you can't put it in the cave ecosystem because you don't know what it'll do to everything else that's in there. So it's such a complicated problem.
Johnson says that this disease is spreading. One of the main causes is people moving in and out of caves without decontaminating their gear, even though most of the caves in West Virginia are closed to the public.
The most important thing that we want to make sure people know about, if you're going into caves, if it's, say, not on national forest land and you're going into a cave, decon when you come out. Don't wear that gear, wear those boots into another cave somewhere where white nose hasn't already gotten to, because you never know what you could transfer.
There's been another troubling development in the spread of this disease. White nose syndrome recently made an unexplained jump from the East Coast to Washington State without a trace in between.
The bat that they found in the West looks like it was a Western bat. So it isn't like the bat got moved, but the fungus got moved. So this is one of the problems you have. We just move things around so much, and people are so much more mobile now that diseases get spread more quickly than they had in the past.
This epidemic is far from over, but so is the research and work to find a new way to keep the numbers of bats growing. In fact, an article from the Smithsonian.com points to a new update in the research on white nose that shows short bursts of UV light can kill up to 99% of the fungus on a single bat. Scientists who are studying this new method say that while it may not be the perfect answer, it might just be enough to keep the population stable until a better answer is found.
It's going to take probably hundreds of years, because bats are slow reproducing. Most of them have one young a year. That young doesn't have a great survival rate the first year. So we're looking at taking probably hundreds of years to get back to where we were just 20 years ago.
One of the ways that you can help is to protect the bats you find in your own home, especially during winter. You can also put bat boxes in your yard and learn how to properly decontaminate your caving gear online. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Claire Hemme in Elkins.
This morning we have Piers Fascini, an English singer-songwriter with Anglo-Italian and Jewish roots, performing this week's Mountain Stage Song of the Week, Cloak of Blue.
Fire at the tip of his tongue, with a bow and arrow strong. Running with the wolves by night, he's gone by the morning light. Like a saint or thief, turning the leaf, gathering souls like you. Lambs at the slaughter, part to no quarter, wear your best cloak of blue. Teardrops from a stone, over marrow on the bone. Words writ on the wall, the higher they climb, they fall. At the temple and bell, bids the farewell, fishes and men like you. Mothers and daughters standing at the altar, wear your best cloak of blue. Wear your best cloak of blue.
Piers Fascini right there from a Mountain Stage show. Last year, we were up in Morgantown. If you're an old-timer like me, it might remind you a little bit of Donovan. He may have listened to Donovan. I like that sound. Very interesting performer. The kind of music you hear on public broadcasting, everything from classical to world music like that, folk music, bluegrass music, blues music, alt music. This is the kind of music you hear on public broadcasting. I'm sure that's one of the reasons why you're tuned in, even though right now we're listening to news. If you listen to Morning Edition, I'm going to make a guess that you'll also listen to other programming. And I know that's true for some of you because you say so when you call and make that pledge. How about you? Have you made the pledge yet? Have you got off the bench into the game? I'll thank you very much for listening, but I thank you even more if you can call 1-800-RADIO-87 and make a pledge of support.
Or you can go online to wvpublic.org. It is safe, it's secure, and it only takes a couple moments. Shiny bright red donate button in the right-hand corner. 1-800-723-4687 is the number to call if you'd like to make your pledge of support to protect West Virginia Public Broadcasting. Maybe $75 is the right amount for you to give to West Virginia Public Broadcasting today. $75 donation breaks down to 21 cents a day. 21 cents a day. That helps pay for your favorite programs here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. Think about all the ways you listen. Do you carry us around on your phone streaming? Do you listen to podcasts on drives? Do you wake up every morning with Morning Edition? 1-800-723. Call Protect West Virginia Public Broadcasting because you are listening right now. 1-800-723-4687 is the number to call.
Do what Tom did from Milton, West Virginia, and make that call or go online. And if you'd like to have some Hall's chocolates, we would love to give you that as a thank you gift. This is the Love and Protect Chocolate Challenge. $11 a month sustaining gift on a credit card will get you a 1 pound box of the great Hall's chocolates made here in West Virginia, sent to anywhere you would like in the continental United States by Valentine's Day. What a great idea. What a great gift. You know, if you've never called before and never pledged before, the reason you can listen to this right now is because other people have. Mm-hmm. And I bet you that you don't want to be left out. If in your world, I'm sure you take responsibility for your life and for what you need. If you want to do that with public radio, make that call to 1-800-RADIO-87.
And when you call, you will be entered into a drawing for a overnight stay for two with breakfast at the Cafe Cimino Inn in historic downtown Sutton. Such a treat. $100 gift certificate for dinner and a box of Hall's chocolates will be waiting on you in your room. But you have to make that call and that pledge. 1-800-723-4687.